I recall reading a passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms years ago that said, "Can God prepare a table for us in the wilderness?" And I'd just like to say, God can. I know a man who can. Amen. You know, the song blesses my heart, but just knowing that I'm listening to a man that knows the man who can. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 2 makes a real good passage for Christmas. But I tell you what the Holy Ghost did yesterday morning early. He made it a real good passage for Father's Day. So turn to Luke chapter 2. And I think we'll be in this all day today. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to get out this morning and come back tonight. What that means is that I believe that it will take this morning's service and this evening's service to cover the territory in this chapter that the Lord wants us to cover. In verse 41 of Luke chapter number 2, let me say this before I forget it. Brother David and Brother Houston, I need your help after church up here in this pew over here near the organ. There's a little gift for all the fathers. If you'd maybe make sure all the fathers get that gift, I would appreciate that, Brother David and Brother Houston. If y'all would help me with that, I appreciate that so very much. Amen. Verse 41 of Luke chapter number 2, the Bible said, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." I probably should have read verse 40. The child, that was Jesus. He grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when he had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us, thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now, I want to just say something to you right there. I don't know if you've ever been in a Kmart or a Walmart or a mall and just for a moment of time looked around and you couldn't put eyes on your child. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, but I'm telling you it doesn't take long for your heart to sink. They had been missing Jesus for 3 days. And when they sought him sorrowing, I believe Joseph and Mary both, their hearts were absolutely broken. Amen. And you can just hear this mother, "Son," in so many words, "Why have you done this? Don't you know that you've broken our hearts? We were worried about you." Look in verse number 49 here. "And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me?" Here's the message. "Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" I'm going to preach this morning for a little while on my father's business. In verse 50, he said, "They understood not the saying." Can I say this? The world's full of people today that still don't understand that saying. Amen. They don't understand that we have a Father in heaven that's in the saving business.
They don't understand that that's why we send missionaries around the world. They don't understand that's why we still try to hold the standard of old-time religion and hold the old Bible and preach the Word of God and sing the songs of Zion. It's because our Father's still in the business. A lot of people act like God's gone out of business. But God's not gone out of business. He's still building a church. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I'm still here. And when he gets through building it, amen, the church is going home. We're checking out of here so we can check in with him. Watch this. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and he came to Nazareth. Boy, right here's a good text. And was subject unto them. Wow. That's something that's needed in this generation. Say amen right there. He was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And the word of God said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If you will, pray with me just a moment. Father, I need your help. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us in the message today. Lord, I know there's truth that will truly transform our lives, Lord. The Holy Spirit can just drive these truths down deep in our heart. Lord, it could be that I'm speaking to someone today that does not know you as their Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, that on this Father's Day, they may meet the Father that's above all fathers, the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Lord, I pray, Lord, that that miracle of the new birth would take place in someone's heart. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to stay with me just a little while this morning. I want to give you just five things right here that the Lord spoke to my heart about this morning. But then tonight, God willing, I'm going to go and preach in the chapter what the Lord gave me yesterday morning. But I want to talk about my Father's business. The first thing I want you to see, just by way of introduction in this message here today, and there will be some comparisons as we go through, is that really there are three fathers pictured in the Bible. And that's an earthly father. That's a heavenly father. But there's also another father pictured in the Word of God. Turn with me to John chapter number 8. I just want to contrast just a little bit this morning in the message. Talk about my Father's business. You see, years ago, my dad and I started a business. And it was called Vinoy and Son General Contracting. No, he's not the one that's building Cabela's. They're out of North Carolina and a lot bigger than we ever dared to be. Amen. And then when I left the business and went into the pastorate, and my brother picked up the slack, and he and Dad were in business together. And then Dad retired, and now my brother's got the business. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot to do when you have a business. There's a lot to keep up with when you have a business. God has a business, and he wants us to see it this morning, my Father's business. But there's somebody else in the Bible. Look what the Bible said here in John chapter number 8, and I'll begin reading in verse number 40. Jesus is talking here to the Pharisees, and he said, but you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You see, here is a group of people that thought that God was their father. There's a group of people over there talking about in the day when Jesus come that will say to him, Lord, Lord. They thought that God was their father. Have we not done many marvelous works? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. And so here Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. They said, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Hallelujah. The Bible declares that God was in Christ. Amen. And if you love God, you love Jesus. And you can't love Jesus without loving God. And you can't love God without loving Jesus. And you can't love either one of them apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Bible said here, if you were of God, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Listen to verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. If you'll get what I'm telling you this morning in the onset of this message, the news will make a lot more sense to you. It will make a lot more sense how that a young man can raise up in a Bible study and kill 9 people without thought, amen, because he has a different father than you and I have. He's of his father, the devil. Pulpits all across America. People. They call themselves preachers and preacherettes. Y'all know what I just said. And they're telling people that if you'll put a little money in the plate, if you'll sign our card, if you'll let us sprinkle some water on you or dip you in a water hole, if you'll just join up with us, heaven will be your home. When this Bible says you must be born again, you must be washed in the blood, you must be saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, why would anybody preach a message that's contrary to the Bible? Because they don't have the same father that Christians have. They're of their father, the devil. Why would anybody want to harm little children? Why would politicians vote continually to pass laws that are contrary to the Word of God? Because they're of their father, the devil. If we have a heavenly Father, it changes how we live. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And I'm just trying to get you to see God has put it in my heart just as sure as there's a God in heaven that has a business. The prince and power of the air has a business this morning as well. But thank God Almighty, the day's coming, hallelujah, when God's going to put him out of business. But right now, he's in business. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Right now, his business is flourishing. That's why they're going to be coming down the pike with laws. Watch it. You just mark my word. They're going to say, well, something like this. If you refuse to marry a man to a man, we'll just pull your tax-exempt status. You know what I say? Money never did mean that much to us anyway. Say amen. We can do with a whole lot less. Somebody say amen. We're not going to cross this book and not going to cross the God of this book. Amen. We're going to stay with the old book. We're going to stay with the old book. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. Now watch this. Here's why they do what they do. And he said, the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Did you know the Bible has a very clear answer to that? The Word of God in John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying, he prayed for you and I. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's what He said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's truth. That's the Word of God. My Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I just wanted you to see there's a contrast in these fathers. Jesus come that we might have life. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's still doing what he's always done. But our Father wants us to have life and have it more abundantly.
He said, here he abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven that is the father of the truth, how many's with me this morning? There's a prince and power of the air. There's the devil. There's Satan. That old dragon, my friend, he's the father of a lie. And he started it right back yonder in the garden when he lied to Eve. The Word of God said here, I must needs be about my Father's business. The Bible said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I wanted you to see the contrast, because we'll see it a little bit more in the message. My Father's business. How is it that Jesus was going to carry out His Father's business? The Bible said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came not to do His own will, but to do the will of the Father. Let me start the message by asking you to turn with me to Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah, please. Chapter number 14 for just a moment. I wanted to read that text because I believe it'll help us to understand a little bit more about what was being talked about as Jesus spoke in John chapter number 8 in the words that I just heard. I read in your hearing. Watch this now. In Isaiah chapter number 14, I'll begin reading in verse number 9. Listen to what the Word of God said. This is a text exposing the enemy. The Bible said, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we are? Listen, I'm trying to read the text this morning, but I just have to obey the Lord right there. Who would have ever thought in the good old United States of America we'd have somebody to raise up and declare themselves an open socialist? Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, you ain't got no business saying that. I just said it and I ain't taking it back. And he's already got a large percentage of the Democratic vote. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, what they want is for America to be as weak as every other nation in this world. That's what the enemy wants. That's what the father of lies wants. The Word of God said here, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will. I want you to get that phrase, I will. I don't want you to forget that. I will. He said, I will ascend into heaven. Look at this. I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. Look at this. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. I'm trying to get you to see this morning, there's a Father in the prince and power of the air. There's a Father in heaven, but they're so totally different. My friend, the Father, the prince and the power of the air, the devil, he's always saying, I will, I will, I will. But thank God for Jesus that said, not my will, but thy will be done. He came to do the Father's business. The Father's business. Now wait a minute. Preaching ain't much count without application. When you and I live our lives in that I will stage, you know who we're acting like? We're acting just like old Slewfoot. When we hold on to our lives and we hold back our lives and we say, God, it's my life and I'll live it how I want to. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're born again, you're saved by the grace of God. It's not your life. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price and you belong to Him. And we should not be crying, I will, I will, I will, like a bunch of babies. We ought to be growing up and saying, thy will be done in my life. Thy will. Let me give you just several things this morning It was voluntarily. Jesus said, "Thy will. Thy will be done." I don't believe God saves a man against his will. Brother Andy, I don't believe God uses a man against his will. I believe there has to come a time in a man's life. I don't know if I can find it or not. It's here somewhere when a man raises a white flag and says, "God, I surrender. I've made a mess out of my life, and I want to surrender it to you. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to have my life. I want to surrender voluntarily." And Jesus, the Son of God, said, "I do always those things which please the Father." Now, let me say this to you. You might say, "Well, was Jesus working for the Father?" Here's the truth. If you don't get anything else out of what I'm saying as a Christian, get this. He wasn't working for the Father. He was working with the Father. You see, they were partners in business. Brother Gale, that's what God wants of you and I. He don't want us to work for the Father separate from Him. He wants us to work. The Bible said we're laborers together with God. That's the joy of the work of God. My friend, that's the way that people go all the way from earth to heaven serving the Lord, is because it's a joy to their heart. He served Him voluntarily. My Father's business, voluntarily. I bring this up because I believe it fits. I didn't plan on it. Years ago, we lived in a government subsidized housing development. What that meant was they didn't give you the house, but they based your payment, your house payment, on your income. Dad was the father of six children. And don't you take what I just said as a strike against him. Let me tell you what happened before this. Dad fixed up a barn. When they ask me, "Brother Randall, was you raised in a barn?" That's what they'll say when you leave a door open. I can say, "Yes, sir." "Where were you raised?" Amen. Dad fixed it up, Brother Rose. It was nice. Raised six children. Dad fixed it up so nice that the woman that owned it jacked the rent up knowing that he couldn't pay it. So Dad was working for a man, and this man said, "John, I know how you can own your own home." He said, "If you'll go over here and tell them what you make and tell them about your children, tell them what you need." He said, "They'll move you in over there and you'll be able to make the house payment." They didn't give it to him, but they helped him with it. Those homes had cedar shakes on the front of them. Are you listening to me? They had cedar shakes. Dad was different. Dad didn't want the cedar shakes to fade. He didn't want them to crack. So every spring he would get out there with a couple gallons of linseed oil. You can't hardly mess up linseed oil. I mean, put it on there, that cedar shake will just soak it up. I was young. And at that time, everything that Dad was into, I wanted to be right into it with him. If he was tuning up that old Ford, I was sitting in there with the motor. How many remembers them days when a youngin' could sit on the fender well and watch his daddy? I'm talking about in the compartment with the motor. Now you raise it and you can't put a peanut butter sandwich in there anywhere. I couldn't wait. Dad say, "Son, we're going to put that linseed oil on them cedar shakes in the morning. You want to help me?" "Oh, yeah." I couldn't wait. He said, "Son, that'll help me. That'll be good." He said, "Son, you can get down behind the bushes and get that down there low, and I'll get it from the eave down." He said, "Well, it won't take us too long. I'd say half a day, son, we'll be done." I can remember the first time how I enjoyed that. I can remember the second time how I enjoyed it a little less. By now, I've got a bicycle to ride. I've got friends to play tennis with. I've got plenty to do besides linseed oil and a bunch of cedar shakes. I'm going somewhere with this. Yes, I am. And then, after about 3 or 4 years, now I'm 16 years old, working two jobs, Dad say, son, we're going to put that linseed oil on them shakes. Really? Does it have to be tomorrow? How many knows what I'm talking about? You know what I just described? A perfect picture of many Christians' life with God. When you started out, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to read your Bible. You couldn't wait to pray. You couldn't wait to tell somebody, oh, you loved. You wasn't working for God. You was working with God. He's right in there helping you. And you was right in there helping Him. Then after a while, it gets old. Now let me say something this morning. You may not admit this. This pastor will. The old I will stand back up. I will, I will, I will, I will. When we ought to say the Lord will, James told us. Say amen. And we ought to be praying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. It was voluntary. Secondly, I'm just giving you a couple of things we're talking about now. Jesus came. He came to die. The Father's business was to save souls. It was voluntary. By the way, it was settled before the foundation of the earth. The Lamb was slain. God didn't look down in the Garden of Eden and say, oops, what are we going to do now? And my friend, you may be sitting here this morning without Christ, and God's not looking down and saying, oops, I didn't know He was lost. He's known all along. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. He knows that, my friend, there are two fathers at work in one service. One is saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The other one saying, not now. You've got plenty of time. Look at the age differentials in those nine people that lost their lives the other night. Some were very young and some were in their 80s. You don't have to be sick to die and you don't have to be old to die. He did it voluntarily. He did it humbly. The Word of God said He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just as sure as there's a heavenly Father that's humble, there's that Father, the Prince and Power of the air, that exalts Himself. By the way, when you and I exalt ourselves, we're acting like the devil. And when we humble ourselves, we're acting like the Savior. The Bible said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He humbled Himself. It was voluntarily. It was humbly. By the way, let me say this. It was expediently. He said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Jesus is 12 years old. I couldn't help it. Abby, you're here this morning, honey. You're one of the ones you and Hannah I thought about this morning when God gave me this message. They're going to college. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's Jesus at 12, but He's only going to live to be 33. How many knows what I just said? My friend, He didn't have time to wait around several decades to get about the Father's business. He had to get at it while He was young. Do the work and the will of God. I met a man last week in the hospital. His wife's laying back there after open heart surgery. And his daughter said, Dad's 48. And I looked at him. I knew there was a problem. No way. She looked at me and grinned, said, turn that around. Said, Dad's really 84. I said, I'm 55. Turn it any way you want to, and I'm still 55. Now, next year, that'll be a different horse. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. He did it expediently. He had to get at it. It was the Father's business. It was not something that could be delayed. It was not something that could be put off. Brother Ralph, life is but a vapor. We're just here a little while. I don't care if we're 7 or 70. We're just here a little while. And then it vanishes away. I'll guarantee you that Jesus wants us to be expedient in our Father's business. He did it voluntarily. He did it humbly. He did it expediently. But let me just say this to you too. I believe there's a point here to be made. He did it miraculously. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. He was virgin born. The miracle, really, I'm not splitting hairs, but the miracle is not in the birth. The miracle's in the conception. The conception was without a man. It was a virgin. If your Bible says young woman, then you just got the wrong Bible. It was a virgin. It was, you say, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with us. What's the miracle in us? Let me tell you what the miracle is. The same Holy Ghost that conceived and Mary and brought forth the Son of God lives in you and I as Christians and allows us to do the work that God wants us to do in our Father's business. In other words, for you and for me to get to heaven and hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it will take a miracle. It's God working in us, not us working for God. It's God working through us. It's God's people laboring together with Him. Voluntarily, expediently, humbly, miraculously. I want to read a verse of Scripture. You say, preacher, I'm not sure about this thing about the deity of Christ. Let me read a verse of Scripture. Hopefully you won't deny the verse. Hopefully you'll receive it. But the Bible said in verse 16 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, and without controversy, Paul told Timothy, son, here's something you can't even argue about. It's not open for discussion. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. That's talking about none other than the Lord Jesus. None other than the Lord Jesus. Justin, you get ready to help me in a minute. Miss Becky, you get ready to help me in a minute. Brother Ralph, I don't know if you can do it or not, but you get ready to help me in a minute, okay? You'll understand in a minute. You'll understand in a minute. Not only did Jesus do the Father's business miraculously and voluntarily and expediently and humbly, but Jesus did the Father's business. Here's a word, I'm not even sure if I can say it. I wrote it down. I'm not sure I spelled it right, but harmoniously. Is that right? Or in harmony. He was in harmony with His Father. Let me say this to you this morning. You say, preacher, I'm just not sure how you could make a statement like you did early on in the message about pulpits in America, preachers and preacherettes telling people, how do you know they're not in harmony with God? I'll tell you how. I got a book. You'll never be in harmony with God if you're out of harmony with this book. Amen. You see, the preacher is not the final authority in the church. Whether he wears a tie or whether he wears his collar the wrong way, it doesn't matter what kind of shirt he wears or what kind of robe he wears. My friend, he is not the final authority for the church of the living God. This precious old book, this is the book we're going to answer to one day after a while. That's a full load right there. We ought to be interested in the Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Miss Becky, come on to the piano. Brother Ralph, you come on to the piano. Brother Joe, I want to borrow your guitar a minute. Can I do that? Okay. Come on, Justin. Amen. I don't want to borrow it, brother. I want to lend it to him. There's your pick. You got a pick on you, ain't you? He's got one. He's got one in his billfold. He don't go nowhere without a pick. Brother Ralph, you don't need to be over around them instruments now. Now get over here. Get over here, Brother Ralph. You get up here. You get up there behind that microphone. Okay, let's do a familiar song, Miss Becky. What's a familiar song, Brother Ralph? What's a familiar song? Amazing Grace, all right. Miss Becky, what key is that supposed to be played in? A flat? Okay. I learned a little something a while back about music. I know what you get when you drop a minor down in a mine shaft. You get A flat minor. Okay. But anyway, here's what I want you to do. You're going to play it in A flat. Can you sing it in another key? Can you sing it in another key?
Lower.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, just sing it in something else. Can you play it in something besides A flat? Well, listen, I've got something to say. If there's no harmony, it's a mess. I'm going to tell you why a lot of churches are in a mess. Because there's no harmony. I'm going to tell you why a lot of families are in a mess. Because there's no harmony. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people are in a mess. Because they're walking out of step and out of harmony with the God of heaven. So let's just try it. Try a verse there, brother. You sing it in something besides what they're playing. They're playing two different things anyway. So do your own thing, but don't look at them. You're doing your own thing. Play it out there then. That's enough. I believe that's what the Holy Ghost says to us sometimes, don't you? That's enough. Now do it right. That's a good truth, is it not? Boy, don't you wish you could sing? Some of you can't get at it, amen. Amen, brother. Listen to me. How many of you, when they got in harmony just now, you didn't even have to be asked. You just jumped right in there. How many knows what I just said? We want our teenagers to jump in there. Let's go walk in harmony. We want more workers, amen. We want more people. Let's just walk in harmony. We want the blessings of the blessed Holy Spirit upon our life. Let's just walk in harmony with the God of heaven. Let's say with Jesus, I must need be about my Father's business. I remember my old father. How many remembers your old father? How he lied to you. How he beat you up. How he left you in the ditch. How he deceived you. And I'm going to tell you, my Heavenly Father's never done that. And he never will. He never will. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you for coming this morning. We're bound for prayer. I want to talk to Christians for just a minute first on this Father's Day. I must need to be about my Father's business. I must. 12 years old, the Son of God said, Mama, I got to be about my Father's business. It's expedient. Here's what I want to ask. You can play softly, Sister Becky. That helps me, honey. That's fine. Here's what I want to ask Christians. Asking you right now. How many of you can think of at least one area in your life right now where you're not walking in step? You're not walking in harmony. Hands are going up. I tell you what you could do. You could come this morning to this old-fashioned altar and you could say, Lord, I know, God, I can't hide nothing from you. I know this area of my life, I'm out of step, I'm out of harmony. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be, I must need to be about my Father's business. Amen. Get that joy, 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 joy down in your heart. I bet he's here this morning. Say, preacher, I'd sure like to have that father that Jesus had. Preacher, I've never been born again. I've never been birthed into the family of God. I'm still like that crowd where Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do.
Preacher, I don't have anything to fight the devil with. The Lord doesn't live in my heart. I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I've never been born again. Preacher, please pray for me. Who would slip that hand up this morning and say, I'm tired. I'm tired of the taskmaster of the devil. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of living for Satan. I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Who would slip that hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm so tired of it, I could vomit. I'm sick of it, preacher. No one will ever get saved till they get sick of sin. Tired of it. That's why Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There needs to be a time when we turn away from sin and turn to Savior. Father, this morning, many are praying. I believe others will come. God, I pray for that man or that woman that does not know Christ this morning. Lord, I pray for our country. God, there's nothing going on in our country that couldn't be fixed. If you'd give us some people, some leaders, that would say, I must be about my Father's business, and would have a Heavenly Father to look to for wisdom, for instruction. God, I believe many of our forefathers looked to you like Solomon did. They knew they didn't have the wisdom, but they leaned on the one who did. I pray, God, work.